really the health comes from within. Our body all possesses its own innate capacity for healing. And the primary job of a chiropractor is to allow the body to more effectively heal itself. And the modality that we use in adjusting the spine and the nervous system, the purpose there is to increase that connection speed.
You're an entrepreneur, and you make vital decisions that hopefully blossom into a business. You're the savvy, out-of-the-box risk-taker who believes wholeheartedly in the process of innovation. Innovation that will change the world. This is CEO Chat with Gresham Harkless, and you're about to embark on a journey through the awesome world of business. Gresham is the epitome of drive and desire as he works to help support small businesses and entrepreneurship. And you're about to learn from this entrepreneur how you can improve your odds of success in the business world. Welcoming the host of CEO Chat, here's Gresham Harkless.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Gresham Harkless from CEO Chat, powered by CBNation.co and Blue 16 Media, your choice for all your website design and digital marketing needs. And this was an awesome chat with Dr. Benjamin Hopsicker of Alexandria Wellness Center, located in Alexandria, Virginia. Originally from Norwood, New York, Dr. Ben uses chiropractic care to improve the health and wellness in all areas of patients' lives, whether they have problems with back pain or neck pain or just want to start feeling better when they wake up in the morning. Now, Dr. Ben takes a whole person approach in chiropractic care, which means he looks for the underlying causes of disease, discomfort, and pain as opposed to just treating the symptoms. So during the chat, we spoke about his background, what led him to start his business, the philosophy of his company, and pieces of advice that he would give to any entrepreneur and business owner. Now, this was an awesome chat with Dr. Ben. So what I want you to do is sit back and enjoy the chat with Dr. Ben of Alexandria Wellness Center. All right, Dr. Ben, are you still there with me?
I totally am.
Awesome, awesome. Well, I truly appreciate you for taking some time out of your schedule to kind of tell us a little bit about you, your background, and what led you to start your business. Usually the first question that I have is just kind of give you the floor and ask you if you can tell us a little bit about you, your background, and what led you to start your business.
Awesome. Yeah. So I'm a chiropractor. I practice in Kingstown. I became a chiropractor because I needed a chiropractor's services when I was a kid. Age 15, I worked for my father's HVAC contracting company, and I herniated 3 discs in my lower back, trying to be a superhero and showing off for some of the guys that I worked with. And in that process, I went through the more, I guess you would say, traditional Western medical process and discovered that it really didn't have as much to offer for me. They pumped me full of drugs and they definitely got me out of pain, but it didn't help to address the underlying causative problems. And it wasn't until I started to see a chiropractor that I didn't realize I wasn't getting better. Once I started to get adjusted, I started to notice some improvement, and then I had a great opportunity to work with my chiropractor and find out that he was involved in healthcare in a way that he gets to have fun at what he does every day and help people get well without creating side effects. So I was very fortunate. I discovered my passion for my profession at age 15. I opened my own office because I'm a terrible employee, Gresham. I don't work well for other people. I decided to start my own business specifically because I wanted to be able to do things my way, and I had a very clear vision of what I wanted to accomplish. And the nature of what I wanted to do is much more hands-on. I spend a little bit more time with my patients. And in working as an employee for other companies, unfortunately, the reality of some of healthcare is that the goal is to turn and burn as fast as you can because more patients is more profitability. And I can empathize with that as a business owner and as an entrepreneur. I think it's important to be able to earn a healthy living and be able to pay for the things that you need to survive and be able to be happy. But I wasn't able to practice the way that I wanted. So it was time for me to open up my own shop.
No, that makes perfect sense. I've definitely heard that a lot where, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs and business owners say they're terrible employees. I can't work for anybody. So I decided to kind of start my own thing. But it's interesting, even so, like going back to your childhood where, you know, you had that injury where, you know, like you said, you're trying to be Superman, which I think, unfortunately, some of us never grow out of. And I'm basically just speaking about myself.
So true.
But it's great that you were kind of able to take that experience and say, hey, this is something that was pivotal in my life. And I want to try to help out people just as I was helped out when I was younger.
Sure. Yeah. No, it's It was definitely a calling. It was sort of like that perfect confluence of events. Like, chiropractic care helped me. And then because I was excited about how it was helping me and how much it was positively improving my life, I was telling other people. And most of the other people that I was telling about this were the other construction workers that I was interacting with on a regular basis as I got better. And there was a couple of horror story injuries through those guys where they had been injured and in chronic pain for 20 plus years. And one of the gentlemen that I told started to see my chiropractor, and he also got better. And I mean, to a point where we're still very relatively close. He accredits me for being able to get back out onto the golf course, even though I had nothing to do with his actual care. And it was because I made that recommendation, and that it really invigorated my passion for it. And I had a chance to work in hospitals. I was very blessed. I took a class series when I was a kid that got me into opportunities to work in different departments and hospitals. And while that work is incredibly important, and I think particularly here in Northern Virginia, our emergency services and hospital management personnel are all outstanding. Nobody has fun at work with what they do. You're never laughing and smiling if you're in a hospital. And that's okay, because things that happen in hospitals, generally speaking, are not all that positive. But I'm a pretty upbeat guy. I like to be able to have fun and enjoy my day with my patients. So I knew that that type of management wasn't for me, and chiropractic really became that perfect fit.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. And you definitely find that, you know, I also like noticed that, you know, when you were talking about you're not a good employee, but it wasn't just that you weren't, you know, I guess, listen to your boss or follow through with what was saying. It was because you had an entirely different philosophy on chiropractic care. Sure. And I thought that was really, really important to mention again, just because I find that, you know, especially within the health industry, there's often people that just want to kind of churn and burn, and, you know, they fill you up with drugs and you're quote unquote off of pain, but it doesn't really, like you mentioned, solve that underlying issue. So I guess, could you tell us a little bit more about your company and a little more about that philosophy and how you try to implement that?
Sure. My process with my patients is really about identifying what is the causative factors of your concerns. And in most circumstances, that boils down to falling into one of three primary categories. Is this a physical stressor on your body that is producing an imbalance and disease? Is this a chemical stressor on your body that is producing imbalance and disease? Or is this an emotional stressor? It's going to be one of those three factors that influences our health. And the definition of health is really your body's ability to perceive some type of a stress, whether it's physical, chemical, or emotional, and have an appropriate, timely response to that stress. Examples of things going wrong in health with a physical stressor could be you fall down a flight of stairs and break your arm, right? That's an example of a physical stress that overwhelms your capacity to be healthy. But another example of a physical stress is sitting at a computer all day and having postural and muscular imbalances. Chemical stressors, when you talk about drugs and people being pumped full of drugs, that approach to healthcare really works predominantly with the chemical stressors on your body. And there are certainly examples where that pharmaceutical intervention is totally required. If you are a diabetic and you need insulin, having access to that insulin to keep yourself healthy is the appropriate thing to do. But if you are a diabetic that is not insulin dependent and the nature of your dysfunction is because of bad nutrition, you have control over that. My job as a chiropractor is to help to identify those health concerns that are controllable and manageable and start to build strategies to mitigate them and allow your body to be able to express its innate capacity to health. The vast majority of the patients who come through my office focus in the realm of physical health management because that's what most people think of with me. And that's fine because honestly, that's a lot of the work that I love to do. I love helping people be more balanced in terms of how their body moves and functions. And I love helping people to have a healthier, stronger connection between their nervous system and the rest of their body so they can more appropriately perceive and react to those incoming stresses.
That makes perfect sense. And I guess that it sounds like even in my work, I find that sometimes the most work that you do is in the beginning to try to determine what's the best, I guess, path to go down. And it sounds like you make sure that it's not just, oh, you have pain, here's something you can take, but it's figuring out exactly which of those three it kind of falls into and then making the correct prognosis as based off of that.
Absolutely. By far the longest office visit that you will ever have with me in almost every circumstance is going to be visit one. And it's rather than the traditional, you walk into a doctor's office and they take 5 minutes with you, with me, the initial onboarding process takes an hour and a half. it's a lot. It's pretty intense. People are accustomed to a certain level of interaction time with their healthcare providers. They're accustomed to having just long enough to condense it down to as narrow a focus as is humanly possible and try and address that one specific thing. The primary reason I own my own business is because I don't fundamentally believe that that is healthcare. That is sick care. That is symptomatic management. In order to really help a person identify what's wrong, it takes time. You have to get to know them. You have to ask leading questions. You have to be able to really identify what different factors in your life can be contributing to your dysfunction. Nothing exists in black and white. Everything in healthcare is shades of gray. Even a fracture, if you fall down and break your arm, yes, that is obviously an acute process that needs to be taken care of, but what made you fall down? Sometimes if it's just a slippery stair, that's not your problem. But what happens if you actually have chronic equilibrium problems? Well, that's something that we need to work on. What happens if after that fracture is healed up, you need to take the proactive time to do work to rehabilitate and make sure that the muscles are going to stay healthy in the long run and you won't have any negative interactions? So it's about a holistic full body process. It's not about looking at symptoms. It's about looking at the whole human being and helping them to be adaptable.
That makes perfect sense. And you know, I always heard that about chiropractic care, and I guess very specifically the spine. There's so many different parts of the body that it's obviously connected with. So sometimes when curing the spine, if that ends up being the path that it goes down, there's a lot of kind of other parts of the body that it affects or influences.
For sure. I try not to think in terms of cure. I try and think of adapt, because really the health comes from within. Our body all possesses its own innate capacity for healing. And the primary job of a chiropractor is to allow the body to more effectively heal itself. And the modality that we use in adjusting the spine and the nervous system, the purpose there is to increase that connection speed. If you think of it as, and it's a terrible analogy because it's really not all that accurate, but if you like to think of your brain and your nervous system as being sort of the CPU of your body that is regulating and controlling everything, the cables of your nerves as they leave from your spine and go out to your body to all of the cells are the communicating pathway. And chiropractic's primary goal is to increase the speed of that pathway. And better yet, it's to increase the speed of that pathway and then teach the patient methodologies with which to prevent that connection speed from diminishing in the future. So it's about allowing your body to better perceive itself and then teaching stress management strategies so you don't get overwhelmed to begin with.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. And me being a tech geek, I love that analogy. So that was right in line with me. But it sounds like, you know, you're really big into, I guess, empowering people as well, too. So it's not coming in and then, okay, I have to go see Dr. Ben, you know, every week for the next 10 years. Dr. Ben's also teaching me exactly how to empower myself so that that thing that caused that domino to fall doesn't happen again.
For sure. It is one of my top priorities with my patients is to make sure that you have the tools to manage your own health. We are all the captain of our own destiny, right? We are all in control of our own health future. And by having tools and by having resources to help mitigate and manage incoming stress before it overwhelms you, my vision in my best case scenario is to never have acute patients. I want my patients to have the tools to be able to handle their own dysfunction and use me as a resource in order to mitigate and manage things that may show up in the future. I prefer preventative care much more than reactive care. And functional lifestyle full of regular exercise, good nutrition, good sleep habits, good life habits is the most important tool in healthcare that anybody can have, more important than anything that I could ever do. It's a function of living a life that is consistent with being healthy will prepare you for that success. And then when things start to go awry, then you have a little bit more of a guidance process with me where I help to steer the ship back towards center.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you. That analogy definitely, you know, landed hard too. I guess, could you take us through, I know you work with a lot of different people. Could you take us through, I guess, the typical scenario for somebody that comes? I know you mentioned that you do an in-depth analysis. What happens kind of usually after that?
Sure. Step one is the history and the examination. The history, again, I'm going to be talking with you for somewhere around an hour, getting to know your history, your present complaints, your past complaints. I'm going to ask questions that make no sense in terms of the scope of what we're talking about symptomatically. It always throws, it's funny to see people's responses when I start asking about what they love to do, what they enjoy in their spare time, how they manage their stress. Because when you start to ask those questions and you see people like, well, this dude's just having a conversation with me, even though it is very conversational and informal, it does serve a purpose. It helps me to better understand what some of your lifestyle habits are, how you manage your stress. It helps to inform how I can communicate with you on a level that will help to create a bond and a sense of trust so that I'm able to help identify further problems. Do a physical exam, an orthopedic assessment. This is a pretty standard process. The nature of the non-chiropractic aspect of what I do from an examination is about the same as what an orthopedist does, is about the same as what a physical therapist does. We all use the same sets of tools to identify those tissues in your body that may be injured, those parts of your bodies that may not be functioning very well. And then the next portion is the chiropractic assessment, where things start to get a little bit different than maybe an orthopedist or a physical therapist, in that we also assess each of the individual moving segments of the spine to identify areas of dysfunction or disruption that could potentially be limiting your body's capacity to be healthy. That hands-on examination with me is a part of every single visit, and it's an important part of what I do because it helps to identify where those inherent restrictions to your body's capacity to function at its best are showing up. And it's different on every visit for every patient. From there, rehabilitative exercises, home instruction. I really firmly believe that only half of my job is what I do with hands on. The other half of my job is what happens when I teach. And it's providing patients tools, whether that's in the format of rehabilitative exercise or lifestyle management. Ergonomics consultations is something that I do an awful lot of and is actually a new aspect of my business, where I do ergonomics consultations for companies and groups that have a lot of employees sitting at computers. Teaching people how not to hurt themselves while they sit for too long has become a shockingly critical part of my job. And lifestyle management, how to manage stress, talk about sleep postures, talk about how much are you sleeping and what are some holistic factors for that, talk about hydration. Every visit I try and ask, how are you? And be very present time conscious to that question, because I find that most people will tell you what's wrong if you're willing to listen. And sometimes it has absolutely nothing to do with how their body is physically moving. Sometimes it has to do with, oh, I've just been particularly stressed about X, Y, and Z. Tax season is coming, right? So everybody's stressed about having to pay their taxes and I'm sitting too much. And with that, that helps to inform what I can provide from an education piece. Here's some meditative breathing exercises that may help to reduce some of your chronic stress associated with that. Don't forget, while you're doing your taxes, every 40 minutes, you got to stand up and walk around and stretch your body so you don't end up stuck and out of balance. All of these little things happen on a day in and day out basis and on a visit by visit basis in order for me to really help identify how I'm going to best support my patients.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome. And it makes perfect sense. You know, as I sit down and obviously in front of my computer, like I'm listening to everything that you're saying and making sure that, you know, we try to implement some of those things in our lives. So obviously I heard you mention more than once this idea of stress and what role that might play and as far as somebody's health. Obviously, most of our listeners are entrepreneurs and business owners. So if there was maybe 2 to 3 pieces of advice, what pieces of advice would you give for us busy entrepreneurs and business owners on how to take care of stress and maybe our overall health?
That's a perfect question to ask. I love that, because as an entrepreneur, I have to constantly remind myself of my own internal knowledge as a chiropractor on how to not end up injured. That's such a great question. If I were going to say 3 things to remember, it's that get up and move. So much of what we do as entrepreneurs, unfortunately, involves us having to be in a static posture to manage the data and manage the business of the business. If you have a chance, every 45 minutes to an hour, I think probably the best trick that you can have is get up and move for a minimum of 10. I'm extremely fortunate in that the nature of how I interact with my business is by being on my feet and moving and actually physically moving patients and being reasonably athletically engaged. My heart rate's not up, but I'm not sitting still. That's probably the number one trick with a bullet is remember to get up and move. Try not to sit still for too long. In fact, most people have found if you're doing a puzzle, if you're doing some type of a logic puzzle, a crossword puzzle, if you're stuck on a problem and you just can't figure it out, a lot of people intuitively know that if they get up and go do something else for a little while and they come back, they suddenly have that sort of eureka moment. That's true of just about all neurocognitive function. Everybody has a little bit of ADD, and the longer we're going to sit still, the harder it becomes to focus on a task. So by giving yourself the inherent treat of getting up once an hour and moving your body around athletically, again, you don't have to go for a run, but get up and walk to the water fountain, get up and go to the bathroom, get up and, you know, go grab a healthy snack, get up and walk outdoors long enough to look up at the sun and bask in its glory for a minute. Do something that doesn't involve sitting and managing your business. When you come back, you'll be more prepared to get back into the grind and you'll be more productive. Another excellent trick, try and manage your mental and emotional stress as much as possible. Anybody who's an entrepreneur and runs their own business, if you're a small business owner in Northern Virginia, you're a stressed person. It is a one-to-one ratio, and that's okay. That stress can be very healthy. It's what drives us to be successful and motivated. Take time to do meditative breathing. Meditative breathing is really a pretty straightforward process. You want to breathe pretty firmly in through your nose for 4 seconds, filling your lungs all the way full of air. You're going to hold that breath for about 7, and then you're going to exhale nice and slowly for about 8 seconds. And then you take 2 or 3 natural breaths in between, and then you do that breath again, and then take 2 or 3 in between, and then 1 more full in for 4, hold for 7, out for 8. That process, in terms of what's happening in your body, forces your oxygen saturation up by bringing all of that air in all the way down to the bottom most portions of your lungs. It makes your relative oxygen level in your blood go up, which in turn causes the signals in your brain, specifically in the hypothalamus, to say, all right, we have enough air. We need to reduce the frequency with which the heart beats. And by doing those types of breath, you can take an otherwise stressed person whose heart rate might be a little bit elevated, who might be having a little bit of an elevated blood pressure moment, and it actually forces your body to calm down. That process is useful for everybody. That's a great trick if you have difficulty shutting your head off at night because you can't stop focusing on what you're doing for work or something in your life has you stressed. That breathing trick, I mean, I refer to it as meditated breathing, but that type of breathing is taught in just about every modality that you can imagine that tries to help you manage stress. There are versions of that for yoga. There's variations on a theme for Reiki, and in Eastern medicine, there's variations on a theme with that type of breathing pretty much across the board, all because it actually works. It's one of the few things that we can control as it relates to our stress. You cannot control being stressed as a business owner short of not being a business owner, but you can control your breathing. So that's also a really good trip. Tip number 3, stay hydrated. Drink lots of water. In fact, tip number 3 will help you even more with tip number 1, because if you are always drinking a little bit of water, one of 2 things is going to pretty much constantly be happening. You're either going to run out of water or you're going to have to get up and pee. And in either of those circumstances, you're not going to be sitting still for a full hour at a time. So you're basically using that hydration as a reinforcing tool for good movement habits. Most of my experience in Northern Virginia, a lot of people are chronically dehydrated. I think that the media and the bottled water companies would try and sell you on drinking a lot more water than you probably really ultimately need. But generally speaking, I think that a good rule of thumb is somewhere around if you take your body weight and divide by 2, you should have about that much in ounces of water per day. So if you're like a typical 160-pound male in the world, you would want to drink about generically 80 ounces of water a day. And if you're drinking 80 ounces of water a day, one of my favorite tricks is don't use the enormous Nalgene bottle that can hold like a gallon of water, because it's not rewarding. It's not particularly cold. And if it just sits there and you always have that much water, it feels like an insurmountable task. Whereas if you're drinking smaller quantities of water, maybe 8 ounces at a time, you drink that 8 ounces of water, you feel like you've accomplished something because you've actually completed that glass of water. And that's a little mini reward for your brain's chemistry. And then you have to get up and go get more. And in the process of having to get up and go get more, you're preventing yourself from getting stuck in that negative feedback loop of I sit too much.
No, that makes perfect sense. Yeah, I definitely see how everything fits together. And yeah, I mean, that's definitely obviously a big business lesson too, because, you know, I think the saying goes, what's the quickest way or the best way to eat an elephant? You know, you do it one bite at a time. So rather than trying to drink all that huge gallon of water that you have sitting in front of you, you drink a little bit. Not only does it help you to reach those small goals in order to reach that larger goal, but you also, like you mentioned in number one, you get the opportunity to kind of move around.
That's it.
Awesome. 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 So I know you mentioned a little bit about, you know, a different aspect of your practice where you're doing speaking on ergonomics. Is that something that you speak on a regular basis? Are there other things that you speak on as well?
Ergonomics is the bulk of what I've been contracted to do, just because it is by far and away one of the most common mechanisms of injury that comes into my office. And because Northern Virginia is such a relatively white collar, dense employed area, that is where I just get paid to engage the most. I teach classes on the science of sleep and understanding why we sleep, which actually we still don't fully know the answer to, which is awesome. That's an incredible subject to study. I teach classes on understanding general stress, but ergonomics is really, from a corporate wellness perspective, the vast majority of what I do. I've taught this ergonomics seminar for government contractors. I've taught it at the Mark Center for the Department of Defense. I've taught on Fort Belvoir for Department of Defense agencies and military agencies. I've taught for U.S. News and World Health Report. I've taught for mortgage companies and banking companies and organizations from, I've taught for Fairfax County schools. I've taught for, it's a subject that reaches pretty much everybody. We live in an era where computers are ubiquitous. Even if you're a troglodyte and you hate computers, sorry about your bad luck. You live in a world where they're a part of daily life now, and everybody has to interact with them. So particularly the patient base that makes me the most paranoid about this is because our youth interacts with it at a constant level now, and there is a general trend towards less and less movement and more microelectronics that fold people over. It's education that has to happen, and it's the most common mechanisms of injury. The Bureau of Labor and Statistics in 2013, which is now old, I'm hoping that they do another study on this and update the numbers because I'm sure it'll go up. But even in 2013, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which is basically the government branch that OSHA reports to, did a study that showed that 33% of lost productivity and time at work happens as a result of musculoskeletal disorders associated with bad ergonomics. So 33% of lost time has something to do with how your body is interacting with your environment. And they actually found that most of that percentage happened as a result of sitting at a computer. There are certainly ergonomic factors that go into blue collar work, like I have bad mechanics when I bend or lift, or if you work on an assembly line, where you're standing on that assembly line, if you're bending and twisting repetitively, can cause injuries. And those are definitely injury factors and things that I love to treat as a chiropractor. But the majority of that lost productivity and time has to do with how people are interacting with their computers. So my increasing my getting out into the community and the increase in this corporate wellness initiative that I have through my practice is happening kind of organically as a result of seeing a need that needs to be filled. The education must be provided, giving people the tools. We live in a world now where we're much more aware of it. You're seeing standing desks and transitional desks becoming more common. You're seeing more and more people want to sit on physio balls rather than chairs. You're seeing people, I mean, the expression sitting is the new smoking has become super popular. And I love that that is the case because it's accurate. It's destroying our bodies. The reality is sitting has always been a problem. It's just much more of a problem now because as humans become more and more automated, as computers take over more and more of our lives, there are fewer and fewer people doing blue collar work, and the negative health benefit, or the negative health cost rather, of prolonged periods of sitting is becoming more common.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Yeah, I mean, with all this technology and all the things that we have going around, we're sitting less because we have, I guess, become more efficient in doing a lot of the things. But at the same time, we have to be aware that all that movement is and does play an important part in our overall health.
Yeah, man.
Awesome.
You know, human beings are designed to be hunters and gatherers and farmers. We're supposed to be a nomadic, perpetually moving people that sits at the end of the day when we are done being physically active, trying to gather food and water and all that other fun stuff. We're not supposed to be able to just sit still and have all of our daily needs met. It is catastrophically unnatural for our species to be able to function the way that we do. It's great that we have the intellectual capacity that we do, but it's unfortunately moving us further and further away from what we're built to do.
Right. That makes perfect sense. So I would consider you like a healthy CEO, and that's somebody who's in the health, sports, fitness, or wellness industry. What do you think is so special or unique about being one of those entrepreneurs and business owners?
It's phenomenal fun. I mean, I'm definitely a healthy CEO, and my motivation for that was built entirely on my life experience. So it's what makes it special for me is that I get to impact people's lives in such an incredibly positive way that has no side effects, that has no negative ramifications. The worst case scenario with a bad visit to the chiropractor is you end up a little bit more sore, or, I mean, you can have sprains and strains and fractures. There are injuries that can happen if it's improperly applied, but I don't cause side effects. And generally speaking, as a healthy CEO, I also fortunately don't deal with people in general who are having a life or death crisis, which is great. That reduces my stress level tremendously. I think it's important to have leadership in the healthcare across the board from the perspective of understanding that we need to change the paradigm on healthcare in the United States. What most people associate with healthcare is I'm sick, so I go to the doctor, he gives me a pill, so I get better. That's generically the message that we send, and that's generically the message that almost everybody sees in the United States as a result of the tremendous amount of pharmaceutical advertisements that happen in this country. The reality is healthcare is doing the things proactively and preventively to stop yourself from getting sick to begin with. It's exercise, it's getting enough sleep, it's cleaning up your nutrition. All of those factors are going to have way more of a positive impact on you than any doctor can, because you're stopping them from seeing the worst version of you by taking the time to do the good things. Get up and move rather than sitting still at work. All those types of tricks.
Yeah, that makes sense. The idea of being on the offensive instead of the defensive. So you're kind of taking care of your health in the beginning rather than having to, again, have to go and be in a worse situation down the line.
Yeah, man. Good analogy.
Thank you. And now I know you're also based out of the Northern Virginia area, the Kingstown area, correct?
Yep.
And next to Alexandria. So what do you think makes the DMV or the DC, Maryland, and Virginia such a great place to be an entrepreneur or business owner?
Oh, it's kind of the dream fit for me. The DMV for me as a proactive healthcare provider is full of people who are generally speaking have a higher level of education and generally speaking has a higher household income. So these are people who fundamentally understand that if you are preventative and proactive with your healthcare, you're generally going to be healthier. The higher someone's education level is, generically speaking, the more likely they are to seek a proactive option for healthcare. So that inherently fits the nature of what I do very well. Obviously, higher median household incomes means people can afford to pay me for that care. And that's great. Like, I think it's important to get paid. So that's super useful. I love this part of the world. It's incredibly cultured. I'm originally from way upstate New York in a very rural part of the state, and I am incredibly blessed. I grew up in a great place with great people, and I have nothing negative to say about upstate New York other than that there's more cows than people. And the DMV definitely benefits tremendously from having just awesome culture, awesome fun stuff to do. It's got great nightlife. There's they say that New York is the mixing bowl. I disagree. I think the DMV is really where all of culture in the United States kind of comes together in a wonderful way. And being able to be exposed to that and be able to grow as an individual and as a business owner in that environment has been incredibly rewarding.
Awesome. Yeah, I definitely echo that, especially the more people than cows. So we definitely have a lot of that here. So that's a good and bad thing sometimes with the stress of driving and doing things like that. But I definitely would say the exact same thing about this area. So one of the things that I wanted to do was just kind of give you the floor to see if there was anything additional you wanted to kind of tell our readers or our listeners. And then lastly, I wanted to ask for people that are listening, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
Awesome. In terms of other things to say, I'm here to serve. I would love an opportunity if you have particularly any opportunities or if you own a business. I know that you, Gresham, are trying to work with other business owners. So me talking about being able to do ergonomics is definitely a good idea. If you have multiple employees that are sitting at computers for prolonged periods of time and you'd like to have somebody come and teach how to more appropriately interact with them and then also provide individual workstation evaluations where you learn how to more effectively interact with existing equipment. I think that's kind of important to understand is that I'm not in the business of selling equipment. I have no stake in that game. I'm here to help you more appropriately interact with what already exists. And while I'm certainly happy to help people accommodate with current equipment, if your current equipment is an absolute dumpster fire and it's actually hurting you, I will also tell the truth and tell you that that's the case. So my best case scenario would be if you have a company and you have people who are sitting at computers, feel free to reach out to me. The best contact information from me would either be through an email. My email address is drben, D-R-B-E-N, at alex, A-L-E-X, well, W-E-L-L, Cairo, C-H-I-R-O, .com. Or you can reach out to me at the office at 703-347-7530. I'd be happy to have a conversation with you about how I can come and serve you and your company.
Awesome. I thank you so much, Dr. Ben. We'll have all that information in the show notes just in case anybody wants to take a listen or actually click through and contact you. So again, thank you so much. Every time I talk to you, I learn something. So I truly appreciate you for taking your time out and all the great things that you're doing.
Yeah, I appreciate you, Gresham. You're a good man, even for a Cowboys fan. Thank you very much.